Welcome to another Carlin Live Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, last episode we had a look at books and films, and we're going to do it one more time. And I'm just thinking you were talking about the Talladega Nights. Is that how you pronounce it?
What's that again? How do you say it again? What was that?
I'm not sure. The Talladega Nights.
Talladega.
Well, tell us what
is the Speedway in America.
Yes.
Talladega Nights. Because when we were talking about what we might do, we had a more serious movie, which I talked about that one the other day called Rush.
Yes.
And then you one that's a bit more humorous. And Talladega Nights is one of your favourite actors. I know Will Ferrell. You know Will Ferrell. He's one of your, you like him, don't you? You're a fan of Will Ferrell?
He's a pommy actor, isn't he?
Pommy? No, he's American.
I know. No, he's not one of my favourites, no.
You don't find him funny?
No, I find it a little bit repetitive, his humour.
Anchorman? Have you seen Anchorman?
Yes, I've seen Anchorman, and I've seen a few of them. But
you find that funny?
Not particularly, no.
It's just it's just silly stuff, isn't it? And that's what I like. Because early on I wasn't a big fan of, but then you sort of get, it's a few friends hanging around and sort of just talking rubbish, which we do in our podcast. So it sort of reminds me of that. But the whole thing is based on NASCAR, which of course is big in America, especially in the South. And he plays the character Ricky Bobby.
What a name.
Which is great to have two first names, isn't it? Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, it is.
And do you know the names of his kids? He had two boys in the movie. Do you know what their names were?
Well, at a guess, I would say they were complementary to each other.
Walker and Texas Ranger.
And, of course, I actually enjoy that show more than I do the comedy that comes out of America sometimes.
Yeah, well, that was a good show with Chuck Norris. He's one of the greats, isn't he? But the whole movie is basically it's about him, his childhood, and his father was pretty much an absent father, drunk, and so on. But he did rock up, and so he was born in the back of. He was actually conceived and born in the back of his dad's car. His dad's name was Reese Bobby, and on the way to the hospital, he missed a turn and braked really hard, and of course, out popped. But then he didn't see his dad for 10 years, and his dad rocked up at at his school when the parents come and do a show and tell type thing. His dad ended up getting thrown out of the school for things that he was saying and doing which weren't appropriate. But on the way out, he said, "Remember, Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last." And that was what he lived his whole life on, this saying that came from his dad. And at the end of the movie, of course, he reminds him, "Dad is that," and he said, "That's just silly. I was high at the time. I told you that." His whole sort of life was based on stuff from his dad. That, of course, and that's what happens sometimes. We have role models that aren't the best role models, don't we?
Yeah, I know. That's go on.
But John C. Reilly, who is another actor, and Will Ferrell and him do a lot of movies together. He's his sidekick, and he's Cal Norton Jr., and they have this thing, shake and bake, and so Ricky Bobby is always the winner, and Cal, of course, is his mate, but always the runner-up. He's never the winner, and later on in the movie, Sacha Baron Cohen's character is a French Formula One driver who comes over to race in the NASCAR championship, and he happens to be a gay man, so this is really foreign to Ricky Bobby. He's a foreigner, a French person who is also gay, and so the actual dialogue between those two characters is quite funny throughout the movie. So you have to, have you seen the movie Talladega Nights? Have you watched it?
No.
I think you should. It's probably on Netflix or something. So you got, now that we're sort of at home, not doing much, you can get it on the Netflix and have a look.
Well, yeah, I suppose I have to. I mean, it's just a want, isn't it, to catch up with things when you've got more time like this, isn't it?
Well, that's right. There's stuff that's happening all over the place. So you've got a bit more time. You can relax and watch a few silly movies like Talladega Nights. Or Step Brothers. You might like Step Brothers. There's another one with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly in it. You might like that one.
You know, Step Brothers. I'm probably that little bit older than you, and I've probably seen it all before with the Three Stooges.
Yeah, there is some, I guess, some similar slapstick-type comedy in there. Yeah, that's for sure.
Anyway, not only do people...
Now, what are you going to talk about? The other day you talked about the longest baseball game in the world, the history of the world.
Professional baseball,
33. Professional. I mean, there's been amateur ones that have gone for longer?
Well, not that I'm aware of, but 33 innings seems to be the longest I've ever heard of. And there was a guy in America, a historian, who was trying to find every single game of baseball in the world that went 20 innings or longer. But I couldn't find any in Australia. The longest game was 19 innings, the game we spoke about, Port Adelaide and Goodwood from 1972 in Adelaide at Norwood Oval. But, it's a very difficult one. About the closest I can find is there was a double header. I think it was Glenelg were playing Goodwood, must have been 5 or so years ago. And the first game was supposed to be 7 innings and the second game was supposed to be 9. Well, the first game went 13 innings. They took a break for half an hour, then they came back, and the 9-inning game went extra innings too. Another 13 innings, so 26 innings.
That's a lot of innings.
It is.
It's a long time sitting watching baseball.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is. I'm glad I wasn't scoring that day. I'll tell you, one of the probably an unusual book that encapsulated a moment of my childhood that influenced my love of soccer was Stokoe, Sunderland and 73. Basically, Bob Stokoe was a manager of Sunderland, which won the 1973 FA Cup. But the circumstances, I remember as a kid, I was sitting up there watching this at night time, all black and white, and Sunderland were a Division II team, and no Division II team had won the FA Cup in 42 years. So they were written up as these underdogs, whereas Leeds, the opponent, they were the cup holders from the previous year and top of the first division, and they had an array of stars in their team and were expected to win by 3-4 goals. But in fact, Sunderland got up and won 1-0. Ian Porterfield scored our first half goal, and a famous double save by Jim Montgomery in the second half is talked about to this day by Sunderland supporters that were there at the game or remember it. And it's just a very famous game in Sunderland's history. One of the vivid memories in my mind is after the game, the manager, Stokoe, ran onto the field with his hands in the air. He was wearing a Macintosh, and he had his trademark Trilby hat on, and it was just a sight to be seen, the joy on his face. And in fact, Sunderland have a statue with him up in his hands with the hat on at their stadium in Sunderland, which I visited last year and made sure I took some photos of that. Very famous moment in the history of sports.
And Stokoe, Bob Stokoe had only taken over that year, hadn't he?
Yeah. Well, that's.
I mean, they're called managers, but they're really their coaches. That's what we would call a coach, isn't it?
Yeah. He came on board on the 29th of November 1972. Their season is.
Oh, what a great day!
Is that your
29th of November?
Yeah, is that your birthday? Is it?
It is. Yeah. So great things happen on that day.
Anyway. They were fourth to bottom in the relegation zone when Bob took over. They lost the first game he managed, but then the next 32 games, they only lost 5 times and finished sixth, which was pretty good. And of course, they won the FA Cup along the way. I'll tell you another interesting thing about that FA Cup. The manager of Leeds was Don Revie. Now, Don Revie had a bit of history with Bob Stokoe, because Bob Stokoe used to play with Newcastle and played in the 1955 FA Cup when Newcastle won. And they beat Manchester City, and Don Levi, the Leeds manager, was playing for City. So he's copped it twice by Bob Stokoe.
Yeah, well, we know, as you were telling me earlier, Newcastle and Sunderland have a very strong rivalry, both being from the north.
Yeah, they do, the northeast, and it's sort of it rivals like Celtic and Rangers, not the political infighting, but just that inner city type rivalry. I mean, Newcastle and Sunderland are quite close in geographically, but they always have big clashes when they meet, and it's always a battle to the death, so to speak, the way they take it so seriously.
Now, I'll ask you a question, you being a historian. There was something that was used in that game that was never used again in an FA Cup. Do you know what it is?
Well, you've put me on the spot here. I'm just trying to think. There was something used in the game.
Never used in an FA Cup ever again.
Was it used previously?
Not very often.
Okay, I give up. What was it?
An orange soccer ball.
Okay. Why did they use an orange soccer ball?
I don't know, but I was looking at stuff, and as you're talking, I said, well, look at that. I wonder if Rob knows that. The orange ball that was never used in the FA Cup again.
Well, you know, to be fair, I did say earlier that I watched it when it was black and white.
I know, and that's what I thought. You said that, and I thought, well, he wouldn't have known that it was an orange ball back in the day.
No, but now that
interestingly, just a little another bit here, it says that this one historian over there is actually something similar to now. We're in this isolation because of this pandemic, but that year there was a flu going through that area and that team, and they actually had to have a break. They had a bit of a break from playing and training, and this guy is saying that he felt that break that they had was one of the reasons they had success that year, because it gave Bob Stokoe, because he'd only just come in and they'd lost a few of their earlier games, and it gave him a chance to sort of build his rapport with the players who were in and out of training over that period of time without the pressure of playing. Well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, but you know, the vivid memory, like I said, when Bob Stokoe ran onto the field and he hugged Montgomery, that made that brilliant save. I would advise people to go onto Facebook, you know, have a look, see if you can see Jim Montgomery's 1973 FA Cup double save. It was just magic. And, you know, it's a kind of highlight that reminds you of a big Tony Modra mark, for argument's sake. It's a real standout from the whole game. And then sort of like Ian Porterfield's goal was brilliant too, but you've seen it wouldn't rate in the top 100 goals, you know, that you've ever seen, whereas the double save would rate in the top 10.
Well, goalkeeper, it's a hard life being a goalkeeper. Not that I'm a goalkeeper, but I always feel sorry for them because they do some fabulous work and they don't get a lot of credit, do they? They might make these a few saves that people at the time, oh, yeah, but that can be the difference in soccer, which is such a low-scoring game. And then, of course, if they miss one or two, of course, we see all the videos of them making mistakes. So goalkeepers have a tough life. So it's good that in that game, such an important game for that club, that the goalkeeper can be remembered.
You know, it's funny you should say that. I was watching this game where one team won 3-0, and I expected, when I was watching the highlights, to see a weak goalkeeping by the losing team. But in fact, he made like 6 or 7 brilliant saves, and 2 of the goals were because he was double teamed, and it was just a brilliant performance by the losing goalkeeper. Yet the winning goalkeeper was caught flat footed 2 or 3 times, but the shots missed or hit the post. So
yeah, that's right.
Not always does a goal, the final results tell the real story about goalkeeping.
No, that's right. They can make some great saves all game, and then